Good morning. Welcome to Bridge City Murraysville campus. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Pastor Eric, and so excited to be with you today. You know, there's really nowhere else I'd rather be than here. I've said it before, but I love being around you guys, all of you beautiful people. I just love being here, and we're wrapping up, actually, our Go Into Your World series. This is our fourth week. If you've missed the last 3 weeks, I encourage you to go online on our website. You can listen to those online. You can listen to all the other campuses preaching this same messages pretty much every week. We're teaching the same direction because we want you to go into your world. Why is that? Because we want to make a difference out in the world, not just exist for our own holy huddle here. We want to go out into the world and make a difference out there. And, you know, with some of the things that, you know, some of people have actually shared with me this in this series is how much they've changed, how much they've grown, how much they've even been able to, I never thought I could invite somebody or share my faith, and they're doing it now because they're feeling empowered and equipped to do so. And if you've been invited here today, you're just a part of a movement of what Jesus started 2,000 plus years ago, and the people who invited you said they love you and value you enough to invite you to be a part of what we all get to be a part of each and every week here as part of the kingdom of God within Bridge City Church. And so I want to start off by asking you, what's something maybe in your life, you don't have to necessarily give a response, but just thinking about, have you ever done something in your life that you originally thought you couldn't do? Maybe there's something in your life that you're like, I don't have the courage to do that. There's no way I could do that. But then now you can look back and say, wow, look at what God did for us. Look at what God brought me through. Look at, I never thought I'd have the ability to do that, and yet I was able to walk through that. Or maybe there's things in your life that you didn't even believe in, even things in the Bible, you said, I don't believe in those things, and then now you do. Like, for instance, you know, Jared just prayed for healing, and I used to never believe in physical healings. I said, that's something in the Bible times, that's Jesus did that, that's not for today. I never believed in that. So then I received the healing of my ankle. I received 4 times I had blood pressure that was off the charts, and they tell me I'm going to get on medication, got to do all this stuff, it's going to take like years. I went and got prayer and came back the next week, and my blood pressure was like 120 over 80, and it's been steady ever since. Like, healing works. God does heal. And I even had gallstones that they showed up on a scan. They said, you got to cut out your gallbladder. I said, I don't know. I'm going to try prayer first. I'm going to go to prayer first, and maybe I get it cut out later, but I'm going to start with prayer. I get prayer, 0 issues ever since we pray, been praying for it. And I just, my point of this is bragging on God for what he's done. Many of you have stories, have testimonies, have a lot of things that God's done in your life, and yet we just hold them all in for ourselves instead of saying, I'm going to boast upon the Lord every single person, every chance I get, because I'm going to brag on how good my God is. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about what God does in and through us. You know, I used to say things like, I'm never going to leave the country. United States of America is the best country in the world. Why would I ever leave? I'm never leaving. I never wanted to speak in front of a group of people. I was afraid of public speaking. Still kind of am, just for the record. You know, I said, I'm never going to give money to a church. I used to say that all the time. I was like, I don't give my money to the church. What's the point? And yet here I am leading 4 mission trips, obviously speaking in front of people, and not only giving my tithe to the church, but going above and beyond because it's all to build the kingdom of God for his glory. So there's all these things, oftentimes there's these things that we say, well, I'll never do that, or I don't believe in that, or I've never seen that. And then we experience things along the way that we go, wow, look at what I used to not believe in these things, and now I get to be a part of them. I get to be a part of praying for people. Even a few weeks ago, I had this vertigo. A lot of you heard a couple months going back, I had to miss church one day, I couldn't preach, I just couldn't move. I was sick, I was throwing up. Vertigo, I went to the hospital, they say it's an ear imbalance. There's some stuff you can do to help, but you're pretty much stuck with it. And I've talked to people like, I've had it for 20 years. A couple weeks ago, we prayed. I plugged my fingers in my ears. I felt silly. Guess what? It was gone that day. Gone that day. Now, God doesn't always heal exactly when we want him to or how we want. You know, there's people we've been praying for years for things. I don't know why he does some and doesn't do others, but I know he does still heal. So I'm going to have faith and say, God, I'm going to give you the chance. I'm going to pray first. And the point of this is to expand our thinking a little bit. Expand our thinking to realize there's things we know now that we used to not know. So now we get to where we are today. We think oftentimes, oh, I know all there is to know. You only know what you know. But the more I learn and understand God, the more I realize how little I really know about him. Because the more I've experienced him, I go, wow, God, I read the book, and there's still so much more. There's still so much more to experience, to live, and to have that God wants for us. But we often have these questions of, do we really believe God answers prayers? Do we really believe he hears our prayers? Maybe you're here today saying, I don't know if he can heal me. I don't know if he will heal me. I don't know if he will do this thing I've been praying for. Maybe you don't know if you could ever have a healthy relationship with somebody, or that you could ever get pregnant, or that you could overcome an addiction. All these things I've experienced in my own life. And I'm here to say that there's all these questions. It's okay to come with questions, but the answer to all your questions is found in Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the answer to all of our questions. And our focus for the text today, as we get ready to dive in the text, is in John chapter 3. It's a man named Nicodemus. This is the chapter, many of you may have heard it a few hundred times, but John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only son so that whoever believes in him would have eternal life but not perish, right? So that everybody knows that verse, probably the most well-known verse around the world. And a lot of times we can get to something like this and say, oh, I've heard that so many times. I got a bumper sticker on my car. You know, I got it up on the wall in the dining room. And we can just pass over thinking, oh, I don't need to read this chapter. What's so interesting, the first 15 verses that lead up to John 3:16 gives us such insight into so many of our lives. I mean, this isn't just a book. This isn't just ink on paper. This is the living, breathing word of God. That God wrote this through men. He inspired men to write this Bible. And the word is inspired. God speaks to us. No other book in history speaks to you like the Bible does. In different seasons, no matter how many times you've read it before, no matter where you are in your stage of life, the word of God will speak to you because it's alive and breathing, just like our risen Savior. Amen? So this man Nicodemus, he starts out by seeking Jesus because he saw something in him that he wanted to find out more. And before we jump in the text, let's just join in prayer. So Father God, we thank you, God, for your word. God, we thank you that your word pierces our hearts, God, that it speaks to us, that it changes and transforms us. God, I thank you that your word renews our minds from all the stuff happening in the world, from all the stuff in our lives, from all the stuff on TV. God, renew our minds to be more like you. God, help us hear what it is you want us to hear. May we have ears to hear and the belief in our hearts to believe what you say. God, may you speak to each and every person here. They wouldn't hear my words, but they'd hear yours, so that you'd receive all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Well, I'm going to just read through these 15 verses, so you can just follow along on the screen behind me. And then once I get through 15, we'll jump into the teaching points from the day. So verse 1, now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Verse 9, how can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do you not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify of what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. If we go back to that first verse, it talks about Nicodemus, this influential Jewish leader. He's on the ruling high council. This was a man who had a lot of influence, a lot of prestige within not just the Jewish culture and the synagogues, but he also had political power. He would have had religious, economic, and business power and influence. People would have known this man to be very well-to-do, very well-off, but he recognized something in Jesus that was different. He recognized something that was appealing and attractive to him. Now, this is a guy who the teachers go to him. Jesus even calls him, "You're Israel's teacher." He's a teacher of teachers. He's teaching the rabbis how to teach the people. So he would have known it all. Like nobody would have known more of the Torah, the Old Testament, the scriptures than Nicodemus. Yet Nicodemus is coming to Jesus saying, "There's something about you that's different." He came to him at night, and there's a lot of commentary, a lot of reasons maybe why he did it at night. Didn't want to be seen, didn't want to be associated with Jesus publicly. And he's just like, "But I got to find out more." This Nicodemus, he knew that in his religious system, there was something missing. He knew that, and if you understand Jewish religion, the whole point of the whole religion points to and looking for the Messiah, the anointed one. When is he going to come? He's going to return and overthrow and establish his kingdom. So there, I'm sure, you know, we know Jesus fulfilled hundreds of prophecies in the Old Testament. And maybe Nicodemus is like, maybe this guy is fulfilling these prophecies. Could he be the Messiah? Either way, we know he talks to him, comes to him at night. And what we often find in people in our lives, maybe some of us here in this room and all of us at some point, we find other ways to be religious. You see, religion isn't just a faith system. It's not just what faith-based system we have, but we all have religions. I mean, have you ever heard of the Pittsburgh Steelers? Right? That's a religion, and sports fanaticism can be a religion. It's not bad in and of itself, but it can become a religion. We all have religions, whether they're sports programs, there's TV shows, there's the way we do things, maybe working all the time. We all have religions. We all have things we do, traditions, and things that we go through. Those aren't bad in and of themselves, but without having a relationship with Jesus, we miss something. Nicodemus had all the religion that he could get, but he was missing a relationship. He was missing something that he knew Jesus had an answer to, or at least he had hoped for. You know, Nicodemus became religious. He was very religious, as many people do, and they searched for what I call is a beacon in their hearts. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says it better, that God has put something in the hearts of all men that draws us to God. I call it a beacon. Like, every person I talk to, I hear them say, like, what they're doing and addiction or struggles or this. I'm like, they're all trying to fill the void that only God can fill. That goes for every single one of us. The challenging part, it's easy when it's like sin and bad and illegal. It's like, well, it's easy to say, you need Jesus. The problem comes when those things that we're trying to fill are good things, like family and my identity's wrapped in my kids or my work or all my money. And it's like, it's really hard to say that you still need Jesus. It's reality, as we all do. No matter where we are in our walk, we all become religious in things and all really ultimately need to break out of the religion and find true joy and freedom in a relationship with Jesus. Nicodemus knew that he saw something in Jesus' life, and what Jesus gave him was beyond his wildest imagination. His response of being born of the water and spirit, being reborn. And fair question, Nicodemus goes, "What? How do I go back in my mother's womb?" And it's a fair question, but it's ridiculous in a statement. But Jesus doesn't just beat him up for it. He says, "You should know these things. Like these are earthly things and heavenly things, and we need to be able to understand them both." So as we jump into our big idea, so to give you a little, we gave a little pretext. Now the big idea today: followers of Jesus will feel excited and empowered to invite people to Jesus when we remember these three things about our faith. So three things to remember. A Christian lifestyle is a supernatural lifestyle. So many times we try to do things in the natural and wonder why we're not getting supernatural results. You know, we're only focused on the natural and not looking for the supernatural. The second thing is a surrendered lifestyle, surrendering to Jesus. And the third is a superior lifestyle. We're going to go through all three of these in the text of John 3. So first thing, supernatural lifestyle. We have John 3, 5 to 8. You'll notice that Jesus doesn't appeal to Nicodemus's feelings. He doesn't just say, you know, give in to whatever he's asking, but he answers in such a way that he gives a supernatural response. And I believe sometimes we dumb down the Christian faith. Like, we're a church that you're going to hear about the Holy Spirit. You're going to hear about spiritual gifts. You're going to hear about healing and the works of the Bible, because just because the Bible was put together doesn't mean the Spirit stopped moving. Right. doesn't stop operating. He says all things in here are going to continue until the perfection and maturity of the faith and the believers, that all the believers are in perfect harmony. How many of you know that's not true yet, right? It's until Jesus returns, then all these things will cease, because we won't need all the spiritual gifts when Jesus returns and establishes his kingdom. This is very important to understand, that it's everything we do is supernatural, should be supernatural. We're supernatural beings in physical bodies. But we get so stuck, and I get it, we all have eyes, and we get stuck in the natural. We got to pay bills, got to go to work, got to eat, got to sleep, all these things. But we must understand it's a supernatural lifestyle. That being born again is not a practical system of do's, don'ts, and how-tos. That's religion. That's rules and religions. And there are rules. There are things that are in the Bible that's what's best for you, right? We have things for our kids that it's what's best for them. It's not just to put rules on them, but it's a better lifestyle, a supernatural lifestyle. It's interesting, later in the book of John, there's a man who's healed of blindness. And the man comes before the Pharisees, Nicodemus' crew, and they're trying to justify and explain away the supernatural healing that happens. This man who's been born blind his whole life, meets Jesus, and now he can see. And they try to ask him, well, was he really blind? It's like right away, like everybody knew this guy was blind for like 30 plus years. Like there's no way he wasn't blind, or it was just like a mistake. But then they try to say, well, Jesus is a sinner, so it can't be supernatural. And like they're making these false accusations. So then they ask the guy, like, what happened? The man goes, all I know is I once was blind and now I see. But how did it happen? He goes, I once was blind, but now I see. You can't always explain the Christian lifestyle. You can't always explain things. It's supernatural. Just like last week, the woman at the well, those of you who were here, John chapter 4, we talked about the woman at the well. She runs into Samaria after meeting Jesus, and she doesn't give theology and doctrine. She simply says, hey, I met a guy. He told me everything I ever did. Could he be the Messiah? And like her response was drawing people, inviting people to, hey, come find out if he's the Messiah. Come find out if this is who we've been waiting for. I once was this way, and now I'm better, and what's in the middle is Jesus, right? That's my story. Like, I once was this way. I was selfish. I was wicked. I was evil. I was a sinner, and now I'm better. The thing in the middle is Jesus. Amen? How many of you can testify to that? It's supernatural, and we can't always explain everything that happens. We can't always control everything that happens. And I think that's oftentimes we want control. Religion and tradition is often control. And we can stay with that too much, where we forget this is a supernatural lifestyle. It is supernatural to follow Jesus. But better than being in control is surrendering to Jesus. Our second point, a surrendered lifestyle. Being born again implies surrendering ourselves to a process of growth and development where we are dependent on others and are not in control. We learn to trust the Father to care for and provide for us through others. Jesus tells Nicodemus he must be born again, implying that Nicodemus needs to be surrendered to a new way of life. See, being saved, being born again, it literally is like going and being reborn, because it's a new lifestyle. The old is dead and the new has begun. It's a rebirth. It's a birthing of life. Not of rules, religions, do's and don'ts and how-tos, but a religion, a lifestyle that's life-giving and abundant. A lot of people don't like a surrendered lifestyle, though, because, I mean, what comes to mind when you think of surrendered? It's typically loss, you failed, you came up short, you had to give up. But a surrendered lifestyle to Jesus is laying it all down for him to be in control. So we say Jesus becomes the forgiver of your past, and the leader into your future. He's your leader. He calls the shots. He's carrying the weight. In fact, I love how Matthew 11:28-30 puts it. Jesus' words, he's saying, come to me. And I believe this is for maybe all of us here, if not some of you specifically. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus, many of you probably don't do much farming or agricultural work, but a yoke is something where you put on two animals typically and they pull together. And Jesus is saying that to put on my yoke, to put on his yoke, is to be a life less burdened. It doesn't mean life becomes easy, but it is a life of ease when you're walking with Jesus. See, oftentimes, and I fall into it, I want to work and do and do and do for Jesus. I'm working for Jesus. And he says, no, you got it wrong. Work with me. Work with me. Walk with me together, side by side. Jesus isn't my co-pilot. He's in charge. That's very clear. But walking with him, instead of saying, okay, Jesus, let's go. We're going this way. How many of you, that's working for you? Some of you? instead of trying to pull Jesus with us, we should be following him, yielded to him. A surrendered life is a yielded life, yielded to allow the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to carry the heavy lifting, right? How many of you are so grateful that Jesus carries the weight? Not only the weight of the cross and our sins that were put on him, but the weight of everyday life. We can cast our cares on him because he can take it. He can bear it. And the world says, strive, 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 go, 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 do, do, do. Be as busy as you can. And we're all so tired and drained from all the stuff and going, going, going. But Jesus says, for whosoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. We can try to find our lives and all this other stuff and miss out on being surrendered to Jesus is giving our life to him. Truly surrendering our lives to him for his sake, then we'll truly find it. See, what we're inviting people to, this Going Into Your World series, we're inviting people away from the toiling and striving of the world, from all the stuff out in the world, to pull away from those, to understand that there's life in the life of Jesus, being a Christian, a follower of him. Nicodemus surrendered his life as a process. You know, maybe wherever we all are, there's always a process. There's a process of sanctification. There's a process even of surrendering our lives. There's times when I know I've gotten to God, it's all yours. I surrender everything to you. And then it's like, but then the next week comes and I'm like, can I pick this back up? Any of you ever have those moments? Maybe you're there right now. Maybe you've never surrendered to him. Maybe you said, I'm not doing that. Well, that can be your first step, saying, I need to surrender to Jesus. Understand he's good. He's perfect. He's loving. He has what your best is in his mind and what's for you. But we can surrender as a process. Just thinking about Nicodemus, it's not on the slides, but Nicodemus, we have in chapter 3, he comes to Jesus at night asking a question. He's having a conversation. Then we see Nicodemus in chapter 7, where the temple guards are wanting to arrest Jesus, and the Pharisees are like, arrest him, arrest him. He's guilty. And Nicodemus says, well, shouldn't a man at least get a trial? You know, he's trying to defend Jesus. And they start mocking him and saying, don't you know the scriptures? No prophet came from Galilee. And they're challenging him and mocking him. Then we see Nicodemus in John 19, after the crucifixion of Jesus. Nicodemus, it says he comes with Joseph of Arimathea. I'm going to just read it to you because it's so much better than what I'm going to say. After the Joseph of after the crucifixion, Joseph of Arimathea, who had been a secret disciple of Jesus because he feared the Jewish leaders, asked Pilate for permission to take down Jesus' body. He's given permission, and with him came Nicodemus, the man who had come to Jesus at night. It qualifies saying that's the same guy. It's not a different Nico. There's a lot of Nicos, but that's the Nicodemus, the man who came to Jesus at night. He brought about 75 pounds of perfumed ointment made from myrrh and aloes. Following Jewish burial custom, they wrapped Jesus' body with the spices and long sheets of linen cloth. And then they laid him in the tomb. This same Nicodemus, who we see here in John chapter 3, is just having a conversation, to then defending and even being ridiculed by his own people, his own Pharisees. So then John 19, he's all in. He's a fully devoted follower of Jesus, that he's bringing the spices to prepare Jesus' body for burial. You see the amazing process that took place in Nicodemus' life? And that's what happens in all of our lives. And that happens when people all around us, we say, they're too far. They're too far gone. No. Because we think everybody should be like this guy, the Nicodemus who's all in. But sometimes it's a conversation. It's having conversation, asking questions and caring for people. And then that leads to a fully surrendered lifestyle. So let's get practical for a minute. For each of us in the room, you know, there's ways that we can surrender to the process and surrender more to God. Sometimes it's finances. Sometimes it's what we're watching on TV or what we're looking at. Sometimes it's a vice in our life. Sometimes it's being nice to our spouse. You know, there's ways that we can surrender our marriage, our kids, and all these other things. But Surrendering one to Jesus also means surrendering to the church, the Big C Church, not just Bridge City, but if you're part of Bridge City, we say start here, but we're a part of the Big C Church, the whole church that Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. The one thing Jesus said he's going to build is his church, so we should care about that. We should want to be a part of what Jesus is doing. So there's things like Growth Track coming up. Being surrendered to the process is joining things that the church is offering so that you can grow. This is happening next Sunday in the evening, 5 to 8. Growth Track is designed for members to learn how they can grow in their walk. And there's different tracks depending on where you are. If you've never been to a Growth Track, you're on 201. And if you have been and you forgot, register. We'll send you the information. Make sure you get to the right track, the right class. And just like college, just like most things, they build upon one another. 201, 301, 401, 501. So you may ask, what's 101? 101 is our next steps as part of joining the church as a member. That's also going to happen next week. Happens the first two Sundays of nearly every month. Right after we dismiss, there will be about 45 minutes. You can stay and learn more about how to become an active and growing part of Bridge City Church. Now, if you're in the process of doing that, you say, I really want to find out more. I want to go to 101. We're not going to hold you back from coming to 201. So you can still come, get registered to come to Growth Track, but we really ask you to go to 101 first so that you can go to 201, 301, 401. It makes sense. There's an order there. There's things like Men's Night coming up. Men in a couple weeks, all the men are getting together at our White Oak campus. They're going to hear a message. We're going to have a lot of food. And then we're going to watch a Steeler game afterwards for all those you really want to stretch your faith. We're going to have a faith night at White Oak. But you don't have to stay for the game if you don't want to, but you'll hear some more about that later on today. But Men's Night, getting the men together, even just surrendering your life to the church in a way of being a member of the church, but then serving on a team, getting involved in a connection group. We have connection groups almost every day of the week. There's information on our website. You can go to the connection point in the back of the room. Just go with the process and saying, God, I'm going to just do whatever you're asking me to do. I'm surrendered. And we talk along the way. Maybe you're here for the first time. You're like, wow, you're getting us to sign up and join a team and do it. Yes, because why not? We're inviting you to have a life of excitement that's passionate, that's thrilling. And this is a community and a family here at Bridge City Church. Why wouldn't you want to be a part of it? The third thing, after we have a supernatural lifestyle, a surrendered lifestyle, and a superior lifestyle, having a relationship with Jesus is better than anything else. We need to stop apologizing for our Christian lifestyle and become apologists for how wonderful the Christian life really is. How many of you, your life is better since coming to know Jesus? How many of you? Half of you. So the other half of you, we're talking, no. But really honestly, how many of you know, like, before you met Jesus to now, your life has gotten better, right? Because there can be a check in, like, superior lifestyle. That sounds like we're saying we're better than everyone. Like, my life is better than it was since I came to know Jesus. That's a superior lifestyle than the way I was living before. And I haven't found anybody else that has really began a relationship with God and began walking with him that regrets it. I haven't found anybody yet that says, oh, I wish I never would have got saved. Man, I really wish I didn't have my sins paid for and I get to go to heaven. Man, I really wish I didn't have all that bondage and sickness and stuff broken off of me. I've never found someone who says that. Our lifestyle as a Christian is a superior lifestyle than the way we were living before, right? It's okay to say that. And stop apologizing for why we're so happy and everyone's so miserable. I have people tell me, like, why are you so happy? Look at gas prices. I'm like, I know where I'm going at the end of the day. I don't know. Like, I have this hope within me that just brings joy and excitement. I wish I could say all the time. There's times I get miserable. I'm tired. I'm cranky. I'm human, right? Anybody else say amen? I'm the only one. But, you know, that we have this lifestyle being a Christian that's so much better than what we were living before. And it's not to rule it over people like we're better than you. It's to say, hey, come check this out. Come see what it really means to be a follower of Jesus. It's so much better than the way I was living before. Use your life as the example. I'm better now than I was before. That's appealing. That's attractive to people. And then we invite them in and give them the instruction. How do they get to do that? Being a follower is one of the most exciting things a person could ever do. Being a follower of him, a lot of people bend over backwards. You know, this idea of superiority. Every single one of us do it. You realize that? Like, Like, how many of you like the Steelers? How many of you like another team? I know a couple of you. Couple. Okay, now I know who to talk to. Now, see, that's that religion that's coming back in. But I know I've talked to some people in the room that have a different opinion than I do on which team's the best. And there can be the superiority. My team's the best. This restaurant's the best. My political party's the best. And we all have the superiority with what our opinion is. If we didn't believe that, we wouldn't have that opinion, right? I mean, the Steelers do have more Hall of Famers than any other teams. Just saying. Anyways, throw that in there for no extra charge. But back to more important things, more spiritual things. We all have this superiority. It's okay to say that being a follower of Jesus is better than any other way of life. It really is. And it's okay to say that, not apologizing for it, but saying, I'm blessed and highly favored. And that's okay to say that I know where I'm going to spend eternity. I know where my hope comes from. I know that I have joy in my life. I know, and we can speak these things as apologists rather than apologizing for them, because that's what's going to attract more people to the faith, not apologizing about everything we do. Why would we ever not look at the amazing things he's done in our lives and not want to share that with the world? Not want to share a healing work, not want to share a restored marriage, not want to store just God as provider in my life. Why wouldn't we want to share that with as many people as possible? You know, 1 Peter 3:15 says, revere in your hearts Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. That word revere and the word reverence is something we don't really talk about too often in our culture, but reverence is really to be devoted to with great honor. To revere Christ as Lord is to put him devoted with great honor, that he sits on the thrones of our hearts, greater than any other thing that Jesus can be revered. Christ as Lord, not as a good guy, not as a prophet, not as this great guy who gives me the nice things. He is Lord. He is leader in our lives. Remember, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Always be ready. You know, when Peter's writing this, he's encouraging believers who are faced with many, it says, various trials. He's saying, you know, I know you got all these trials, but you're still supposed to give a reason for the hope within you. It's almost as if it's the problems you have in your life are just an opportunity to share your faith. When bad things happen in your life, it's an opportunity, an open door to share the hope within your heart. Why do we have the hope within us? You know, there's a lady who I first got saved. Older lady, probably 70s, 80s, I'm not sure. She was really old, but she's up there in age. And she shared with me something I never forgot. She goes, you know, if I ever get cancer, I want to be the best cancer patient ever. She goes, I just want to celebrate and testify God, even in like the worst thing. I think it was like the worst thing she could think of. What if I got cancer? What happened if she ended up getting cancer a few years later? And I heard stories. I didn't talk to her personally afterwards, but I heard stories of how, man, she is just always so joyful. She's always smiling, always happy. She was even out, I know her son, and he said she was out seal coating her own driveway. She goes, I'm just going to do it. I've done it my whole life. Why would I stop now? And she goes, I can a little bit at a time. She'd do a little bit at a time, have to take a break. And I'm like, this woman who I remember that it always stuck with me of like, even if I got cancer, even if the worst thing that I could think of, the loss of a loved one, the one of the hardest things you could ever deal with, yet I'm going to still be a follower of Jesus. I'm going to be the best witness to people I can be because I know where my hope comes from. Right? It's in the midst of trials that we have such an opportunity to speak to the goodness of God. The light shines brighter in the darkest dark, in the darkest of night. As believers, our lifestyle should attract people to, but it can repel people from the gospel. If we're doing it right, people will ask us about the hope we have in Jesus. Just like Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, tell me more. Help me understand this. What am I missing? There's people all around us who are begging that question. They don't know how to ask it, or they don't know to ask it, but they're wanting to know the answer to what's after this life. What's really this whole life all about? This can't be it. It can't be just wait till the next election. Can't be wait till the next season. Can't be wait till, like, there's got to be more. There's got to be more to this life. So John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's the answer. This is the message. Verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. This is what we're inviting people to. We have to live our lives supernatural, surrendered, and superior lifestyles. We have to live those that way. But we're inviting people into this message. What better message than this? That God so loved the world, that God so loved you, that he sent his Son to die on the cross for you, to take away the sins of the world, the worst of the worst things you could ever do. He took it away. He paid for it. If you allow him to do it. He sent his Son to give. He gave up his only Son. All you have to do, you have to believe in him, to trust him, that it's not your way to heaven anymore. It's his way. That he, whoever believes in him, will not perish, but have eternal life. The message isn't, you better not, you should not, you better turn or burn. That's not the message. The message is not perish, but eternal life and life abundantly. Why wouldn't you want to be a part of that? It's not, you can't have fun, you can't drink, you can't do that, you can't. It's no, I got something better. I got a better way of life. One that's so much more joy-filled. Something that has so much more purpose and meaning and value. Something that's going to have eternal rewards and benefits. If you want to make an eternal difference, come talk with me. Come find a way. I want to show you Jesus, because walking with him is better than anything else the world has to offer. It's so much better. God didn't send his Son to condemn the world. I'm not condemning any other behaviors. I'm not condemning any. I'm saying there's a better alternative. To save the world through him, Jesus came so that you and I would be saved. To be born again. It's a supernatural thing. We can't always explain it. It doesn't always make sense. But I know I was living this way, and now I'm going to live this way. My desires changed. What I care about, what I want to spend my time and money on, it's changed. It doesn't really make logical sense, humanly speaking, but it does make sense spiritually speaking. That I once was this way, and now I'm this way, and the thing in the middle is Jesus. Would you please stand to your feet? If you're here today and you say, you know what, I hear what you're saying. I've heard this verse before. Maybe it's speaking something new to you today. So this book, it's not just a book, it's the living, breathing Word of God. That these words on the screen, these words of Jesus, he speaks to our hearts. No matter how many dozens or hundreds of times you've heard these words, it still rings true for us. That God, you so loved the world. God, you so loved me that you gave up your Son. That if I believe in Jesus, I can have eternal life and not be damned to hell for eternity, but I get to be with you for eternity. It never should grow old. It should never grow old that Jesus, you died for me. You willingly and joyfully went to the cross because of my sin. It always takes us back to that place of remembering what Jesus did for us. It should draw us closer to him. Not condemnation, maybe some conviction of, God, I want to live for you. I want to stop living the way I'm living. I want to start living for you because I know you saved me. I want to offer you the most important decision you can make. Maybe you're feeling something move in your heart. Maybe you're feeling your palms are sweaty. You're not sure what it is. It could be the Holy Spirit of God moving on your heart, inviting you, just like you were invited here, inviting you to a relationship with him. It's not religion. It's not works. It's not do's and don'ts. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ because of what he did on the cross. If you want to begin that relationship, you say, you know what, I have not been living the way I know I should be living. I want to recommit my life to him. either one, you want to begin that relationship or start afresh, He's inviting you to that relationship right now. I want to pray for you. All I ask that you slip up your hand so we can see who you are. I want to pray for you. We'll be able to help you understand how you can take your next steps. Anybody here today, you say, I need to get right with God again. I need to get back in that relationship. Just slip up your hand. Slip up your hand. All right, well, let's all pray in Jesus' name. I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you, God, that you sent your Son. God, that you sent your one and only Son for us. God, may we never take that lightly. May we never take that for granted, where we just read the words on the page or we hear that and we just pass on by. But God, that those words, that verse that would speak to our hearts, the truth of those words would ring true in our hearts, that you sent your Son for us so that we could have eternal life, not just in heaven, but eternal life even here on earth. God, I thank you for each and every person here. God, I pray you'd send us like you sent your Son to go into the world, not to condemn the world, but that they could be saved through Jesus. God, use us. And I'm just inviting you right now. If you say, I want to be sent out of here like Jesus was sent, I'm just asking you to stretch out your hands. I want to pray for you. I want to commission you. Say, Father God, I say right now, God, to every person who has their hand raised up, God, that I'd commission them now to go out into their world. To go as you sent Jesus to go, that you would send us to go into the world, not to condemn them, not to put them down, not to say we're better than them, but to live our lives supernatural, surrendered, and superior in such a way it would draw people in to the kingdom of God. God, commission us and send us out with your Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we thank you for that we get to have eternal life in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I love you all. Go into your world.